one of the things they believed. So think about this. You're a disciple. You're a fisherman. You're following Jesus. You have a new role. You're doing what he does. You're seeing people healed. You're seeing people fed. And they go, wow, this is different. We are on a path here, something. And they really didn't get that he was going to die. Some of the disciples reproved him. Peter reproved him. May it never be, you know, that you're going to go die. That's crazy. They didn't, that wasn't an appealing idea. The man they were following was going to give his life to pay for everyone's sin. That wasn't clear to them. So all of a sudden, your leader goes off and gives up his life. Now what do? Then he comes back. All of a sudden, he rises from the dead and he's back. Well, look at this. Look at what they say here. Now, okay, remember, and I'm adding a little here, maybe this wasn't the motivation, but remember somewhere there was a hope with some Israelites that they were going to be in charge. So look at what they ask him here in Acts. They gathered around him and say, Lord, is it this time you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Is it now? Now that you're back from the dead. And Jesus didn't deny this. He said, it's not for you to know times, dates the Father has set by his own authority. Jesus is going to, when he comes back next time, change how the rule on earth works. And we're not going to go into that today. So they ask him a question. This is the last thing he says before he ascends into heaven. He dies, he comes back. This is what he says next. So he says, don't worry about if you're going to be in charge of everything or not, but you will receive power. Power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power for what? Jesus left that he could give God, give us, give Christians, give these Christians the power to follow him, the power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So he says, don't worry about being all in charge. This is the job I have to you, and you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it by your own strength. You're going to need this. You're going to need help from the Holy Spirit. What happens next? After he said this, he was taken before their very eyes up into heaven. Imagine if you saw this. You think they'd talk about this? Okay, what happened? I wasn't there. What happened? You're not going to believe it. I was standing there talking to him. I asked him a question. He said this, and then he rose up off the ground, and he was gone. I bet you they talked about this. What did he say? What's the last thing he said before his feet left the ground? What happened? Well, he said that we're going to be his witnesses. He said he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be his witnesses. We're going to testify what it means to witness to him. So there's something in here called a geographical progression. This may not make much sense to us because we didn't live here, okay? But right here he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. This would make a lot of sense to them, and I want to walk through that. So he says, you're going to be my witnesses where? In these places, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So for them, let's look at what they were talking about. Here is a map. I hope we can read this. So here is Jerusalem. That is where they were. He says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit that you can be a witness that I am the risen Lord in Jerusalem. That's their hometown. You can be a witness for me in your hometown. Next, he said Judea. Okay, so that's their hometown. Judea is their surrounding area. That would be the area around their city. I'm sending you this power that you can be a witness for me in the area around your city, the next area outside that. Next, they said, Samaria, okay, you live in Jerusalem, this is the surrounding area. Samaria, that's the people you've heard of, but you don't see. You know they're there, they're to the north of you. You're going to go up there, maybe they come down and visit, but they're not your immediate community. You're going to be my witnesses there. And then to the remotest part of the earth. So this is what they call geographic progression. So if you look at this, he's saying, I'm going to send the Spirit of God to help you be my witnesses here at home. And I want you to go out to the surrounding area. And then I want you to go way up here, even in the water over there, to the fishermen in Joppa. But I want you to plan on doing that. This is part of, you are going to be my witnesses there and to areas beyond that, even to the remotest part of the earth. So part of the one of the last things he said was, you're going to start at home, and you're going to branch out, and you are going to go everywhere with this message that I came, I died, I rose from the dead, and I have power for you to live a different life. So this is the last thing he said before Jesus was ascended into heaven. So that's the message, the conviction that the Scripture says that this is what Christians in the mission of the church are supposed to do. Now, I remember being at a conference, and I don't know if some of you may have heard Herschel Martindale speak. He's one of the founding pastors in our organization of churches. And he's getting older. He just still speaks, but he's getting a little older, and he doesn't speak in as many places as he used to. I remember being at a conference where he was talking about moving to another country or going somewhere else. And you know, my thought, I'm sitting in the back, and my first thought was, honest, boy, I don't want to move anywhere else. I don't want to go anywhere. I love it here. I love being an American. I want to live in my town and do my thing. And I just shut down, honest. I don't want to go anywhere. And I just like couldn't hear anything. It was just scary. God might call me to go somewhere else and witness to him. I don't want to do that. I remember Herschel goes, he was going all over. He's ministering to people in the Philippines. I think he's still going to help churches in the Philippines. That's what he's doing. Now, if everyone does what I did, actually does that, I want to stay home. I want to be in my town. I want to raise my kids. I want to have my house and my job. What happens to the church? It stays in Jerusalem. It never goes anywhere else. A lot of you know Daniel Gehring. He's one of the pastors who helped found this church. And we've talked about this as leaders in our church. He was here for a year, maybe a year, and then he had a vision, not a physical seeing things, but he had this aspiration to go to Germany and start a church in Germany. Now, we've talked about that. Was that a good idea to come here for less than a year? That wasn't good for our church. And he went off to Germany. And now there's an organization called Great Commission Europe. He was the first to go. I remember thinking, wow, who would want to be the first to go? That's crazy. Now, I saw him at a conference a couple of years ago, one of the pastor's conferences. We were just talking. He says, you know, one of the things I ask people, he said, what do you think it means to get out of the boat? You're in the boat, get out of the boat. That's what he did. He got out of the boat. Now there's churches in Spain, there's churches in Italy, there's churches in Germany. And God may have done that a different way, but God used Daniel Gehring to do that. So I wanted to share another example. of people going, or a person who went somewhere. This is a pastor you've probably heard of. I'll read this. He says, it was the second night after we had just moved to Atlanta. As I laid restlessly in bed, doubts, fears, anxieties, feelings of inadequacy seemed to overwhelm me. I'd left my familiar surroundings at the University of Maryland, where I knew how to evangelize, and I now found myself in a suburban community where I didn't have a clue how to reach people. In my confusion, I cried out to God for help. This type of desperation to be used by God is vital. I don't care whether or not you're fruitful. It's unlikely God will force fruit upon you. Within days, I met my new neighbor, Tony. I started to introduce myself to him at the pool. Later that night, he came over to check out my new basketball hoop. One conversation led to another, and then, of course, he asked what I did. I had an answer designed to create further interest in Jesus Christ. A few weeks later, Tony and his wife visited our church and hated it. But around the basketball hoop in my backyard, we continued to have conversations, which became more and more open. Before long, Tony's objections to Christianity were out in the open and able to be addressed. Several months later, Tony and his wife came to Christ and learned to trust him. This, you know who this was? Is. This is Tom Short. Tom Short is one of the boldest people I know. He speaks all over the world, and I regard him as nearly fearless when it comes to sharing his faith. Here he is, overwhelmed, deep feeling of inadequacy. But he was willing to go and put himself in that position, willing to go. So what does it look like if we're willing to go, or if we're not willing to go? Practically, we live here in America. There's a very American view of life. I'm here to live my life and get my stuff and live it in the American way and have the American dream. You know, one of the things I really appreciate was Mike Eichen organizing our mission trips. If it wasn't for that, I'd probably never go. I'd probably stay home. Who wants to go all those miles? A long way. But going there, it was a wonderful thing to be part of, to share our faith and to serve people and to be part of that somewhere else, even to the remotest part of the earth. I remember I was down there in Nicaragua with our sister church there. I was thinking, I wonder, maybe I should think about moving to a place like this someday. Not today, not this year, but maybe God would have me do that. And I was in one of the leaders' homes, you know, and I thought about, I'm used to all my creature comforts. I remember thinking about this, well, maybe I should pray about that someday, about maybe God would do that, going. And I remember thinking, I go into the bathroom, you know, and there's a faucet. Now, it's hot down there. We were working. It was nice to have a hot shower. And I look and I go, oh, there's a faucet. You know what it was? It was one faucet. There was no hot water. There was no cold water. There was one faucet. It was the water faucet. And I go, oh, if I move here, there's no hot showers. That's a sacrifice, isn't it? Am I willing to go? That seems petty. But I actually thought about, oh, I like my hot shower. I got to give that up. Maybe it's not that important. If I'm willing to go, what would it look like to be willing to go and serve God? Am I willing to go? If God calls me, what would it look like to be willing to go? The scripture talks about the church as three different entities. Compares it to being a body. Body all working together, I think, and a family. I think that really came through in Shawnee's memorial service. That was beautiful. That really was. An outpouring of care You can pay people to bring food and play music and speak, but you can't pay people to care like that. It was a beautiful expression of care. So I thought so. But it also talks about the scripture as an army. As an army. Now, anyone know what this AWOL stands for? Absent without leave, I believe. I didn't look it up. So, gone. Gone. So if you're in the army, if you're in God's army, what does it mean to be absent without leave? Absent without leave, you know what? Soldiers are usually getting into trouble. They're usually doing their own thing. They're not looking for direction to the commander. What do you want me to be doing? What should I be doing? Where is my... And they're not supporting the mission when they're AWOL. They're not doing that. So I want to look at a few verses about what does it mean to be a soldier and how, from a biblical point of view. If that's one of the aspects of the church, Paul talked this way to Timothy. Endure suffering with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. This is Paul, an older pastor, talking to a younger pastor who's raising up a church. Christianity will never make sense to you. If you your view of Christianity is supposed to be happy, easy, all the time, it will not make sense to you till you understand you're a soldier in a war. If you think the devil will sit down as you move forward to take ground for God, and you will not face any opposition, your Christian life will make no sense. Endure suffering with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. If you're in the army, you know, people, soldiers move around. Sometimes they live in tents. They go where the mission is. Where's the mission? Yeah, we're here. We're moving here. We're here for a month or a year, but we're going. We're here for maybe 5 years, but... I'm ready to move out. It's one of the ways the armed forces work. If a soldier says, "Well, I don't want to go. I can't go. I got to stay. I got my house here." Soldiers don't think that way. They don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life. If you get too attached to your life, you lose the mission that God has for you. They don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life. So where are we at with this aspect of God wants us to go? God wants us to be witnesses for Him everywhere we go. And we use this generational approach. We do it here. If I follow that, we do it in town. We do it in our local community. We do it in our neighborhoods. We do it in our state. We support other churches and other organizations and other activities in our region, and we even do it internationally. We're trying to follow that pattern to be involved in those areas. But it starts in Jerusalem. We need to be active in making disciples, which is a disciple just means follower. It's kind of a biblical term, but it means to be a follower of Christ. Be active in making disciples here. That's the mission. We do lots of things, but that's the mission. Who are you influencing? Who has God called you to be an influence in to follow Jesus Christ? This is the training ground for going somewhere else. One of the things missionary organizations have struggled with is they send people out, people who have a desire to serve God, and there's a pretty good failure rate of people who are missionaries. They go out, and they come back, and they never go out again. So one of the things missionary organizations are doing now is they are looking at, are you doing this at home? Are you serving God? And make? Because if you're not doing it at home and face this hardship at home, it will be very hard to do it somewhere else where it's not your culture, it's not your town. So why is this important? I was thinking about circumstances. I was reading about this last week. One of the aspects of the church is that we point, we're witnesses to God. And I was thinking about how that's not apparent to the rest of the world, that God is real, that he will judge everyone's life, and all authority will come back to Jesus Christ. You guys remember God's promise to Abraham? God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. He promised him that. But his circumstance didn't look like it for a long time. What actually happened was he didn't have any children. And his wife was getting older, and he was getting older, and he had this promise from God. He didn't have any children, and his wife was getting older, and nothing was happening. And they tried to help God out because they thought that God needed help, but that didn't work out, as it often doesn't. And they had to choose, is God's promise true? There's often times when the circumstance doesn't look right. In fact, the scripture says Sarah's womb was dead, which means the normal process of conceiving and having children, she was beyond those years. She was, you know, it says there was no chance of that. Good for him, a chance to see God work. But the scripture says Abraham trusted God, but for a long time, if he looked at evidence from his circumstance, there was no reason to hope in that. But he trusted God. You know, this is the way the world is. If you look around at just the evidence, the world can't see that. We're the ones who say, no, you've got to look beyond the circumstance. You've got to look to the truth. You've got to look to who God is. This is what the church does. Helps people see beyond the circumstance. So for us, if we're going to do this, I was thinking, well, what if you don't really want to go? Being a soldier, that's kind of a foreign concept. I'm an American who goes to church. Well, that's a little backwards. You're a Christian. You're an ambassador. You're a soldier. This is what the scripture says we are. We're the army of God. Like it or not, you're in the army. That's where we are. And if we don't think that way, if you're like me going, move somewhere, I don't want to do that. That scares me. I want to stay here where it's warm. Kind of warm. Not too warm. Warming up. I want to stay where the water. I want to stay where we have hot water heaters. That's American, the hot water heater, isn't it? We invented that, didn't we, Foster? I hope so. I want to claim that's ours. I want to stay in what's comfortable for me. I don't want to take any of those risks. If I don't think like a soldier, I'm going to go out where my commander tells me, then I have an opportunity for my mind and my thinking to be renewed. Maybe it scares you, scares me sometimes. Move somewhere else. Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Part of the process of Christianity is that our thinking is changed. We're still in the beginning of 2015. This is mid-February, just in the beginning. We need to be in a process where God can change my thinking, that I think more like a soldier as I go through this year. That I'm in his army and I'm going to make disciples and I'm willing to go places maybe I was afraid to go. I wanted to try something I might have been afraid to try before. So I'm not an American who goes to church. I'm a Christian who happens to live in America right now. And I'm a witness for him and I'm willing to go anywhere he wants me to go. I'm willing to talk to anyone who he wants me to talk to. I'm willing to take that chance that someone may not like it. You know, I was here Thursday, I think it was, and I pulled up to the church building here, and there was a policeman who had a car pulled over in front of the building. And I sat in the car, and you know how you kind of watch that, okay, what's happening here? And the policeman's talking to the driver. And he walks back towards his car, and he's just, ever see that? He's just shaking his head. He's going like this, very vigorously. And I go, I wonder what this is. And so part of me is just curious, you know. So I come in the building, turn on the coffee pot. I'm watching out the window. I went, okay, they're still there. And so I go back out. I do this. And I said, hey, you want a cup of coffee? I noticed you're kind of shaking your head. And he was frustrated. He was frustrated. He says, the guy ran the railroad signal. And he pulls over. And he says, he doesn't have a driver's license. He's got a car. He's got insurance. He doesn't have a driver's license. And I said, oh, that's not good. And he says, you know how it works now. He says, you don't have a driver's license. He says, if you're in an accident, sometimes the insurance companies won't pay. I says, oh, I didn't know that. And he says, yeah. He says, it's a real problem. And he said, and so he tells me the story. He looks at me and he goes, you know what he asked me? I says, you want a cup of coffee? He said, he asked me to let him off the hook. And it's been said that pastors and policemen and firemen sometimes can relate. There's a kind of, but I think I understood what he was saying. He's going, I've been called to enforce the law, and this is not, you know, I pulled him over for this, and now I find this, and then there's other stuff, and it gets, the hole gets deeper. And he says, and then he asked me to just, what does it matter? Just let me go. And so I thought, I says, you know, I felt, for the policeman, I says, well, this is a hard job. This really is a hard, being a policeman, I think it's a hard job. Here you are, no one's happy to see you, right? If you're a policeman, oh, thank you so much. I need to get my license. Thank you. I thought, you know, it's important for someone to hold up the standard. And I said, you shouldn't feel bad about that. You should not feel bad about holding up the standard. You know, this is a little thing, but having your life, someone has to hold up the standard. The church. And I told him that. I said, I never met him before. I said, you shouldn't feel bad. It's important to do this. It's important that we have standards. You shouldn't feel bad about that. And he was struggling. As the church, we hold up the standard that God is real and that he is going to look at everyone's life where Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. We hold up the standard and the willingness to go somewhere else or talk to somebody new and say, this is the standard. It only works as we grow and are willing to witness to him. So that's the call, to go somewhere else. So with that, I just wanted to end with that. I thought we can have the music team come back up. So why don't we pray and we'll close out for today. Lord, I thank you that you have called us to go to the ends of the earth, to go other places with your message, with your witness. And I do pray that you would bless our understanding, help us to be bold and not shy away from what you called us to do. Amen.